your thoughts, your plans, your purposes are all directed toward the accumulation of the things of earth. Your anxiety, your study, your interests will all be centered upon the world. The heavenly attractions will lose their beauty. The glories of the eternal world will cease to have the force of reality to you. Your heart will be with your treasure. And every faculty of your mind will be so concentrated on the work that you have chosen that you will not heed the warnings and entreaties of the Word and Spirit of God. You will have no time to devote to the study of the Scriptures and to prayer, so that you may escape the snares of Satan and render intelligent obedience to your Heavenly Father. It's a very frightening statement. I'll give the first half again. If your thoughts, your plans, your purposes are all directed toward the accumulation of the things of earth, your anxiety, your study, your interests will all be centered upon the world. The heavenly attractions will lose their beauty. The glories of the eternal world will cease to have the force of reality to you. What is Ellen White saying? When this earth and surviving is our focus, heaven eventually ceases to be real to us. No wonder Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasures are all on the earth, that is where our mind will be. And the coming of Christ will occupy little place in our hearts and minds. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. How are you? How was your day? Not too bad, not too good. All right. But you are alive now. Can you say amen? Amen? So God was with you and He brought you up to this point. I thank God for life. I thank Him for health, vision, hearing, all the senses. I thank Him for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thank Him I'm not in prison. I thank Him I'm not fighting some drug addiction. I thank Him I have physical mobility. I thank Him for those who pray for me. I thank Him for the ministry of Ellen White and all the pioneers. I thank Him that I still have access to His Word. I thank Him for freedom of worship. I just thank Him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And so I say, God is good, and all the time. Let me hear this side. God is good, and all the time. Let me hear this side. God is good, and all the time. Let me hear my brothers and sisters outside. God is good. What did they say? And all the time. All together, God is good. And all the time. How many of you love God? Can I see your hand? Some of your hands are so slow, but God is a long-suffering God. Thank you very much. God loves to know we love Him. Who is with us tonight? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. You are with us for the first time. Raise your hand. First time. Please stand. Where's that microphone? Where is our microphone person? All right, we have the good pastor, who is more qualified than the pastor, and he's passing off the responsibility to somebody else. All right. Okay, I saw a good man right over here. Oh, you're a guest. Okay, that's why you have the mic. All right, is that mic alive? Nope. Okay. There we are. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What's your name?
It's Arlen.
Who?
Arlen.
Spell it.
A-R-L-A-N.
Arlen, where are you from?
Manila.
Manila. Well, it's not too far away, but with traffic, it may take you 9 hours to get there. It's nice to see you, Arlen. Who invited you?
This beautiful family of Bonador.
Beautiful family. God bless you. Thank you for inviting Arlen. Arlen, you made an intelligent choice to accept that invitation.
God
bless your life and continue to stay close to this family. Say amen for Arlen. All right, my good brother, you may be seated. Thank you very much. Is there someone else? You are here for the first time. You are not. Didn't I see you stand? No? All right. Where? Let's get the mic. We know people are shy, but it's okay. Oh, hello.
Good evening,
brother. Good evening. How are you?
First time here. I'm fine.
What's your name?
Gemma.
Gemma.
Yes.
Gemma, where are you from?
I came from Santa Rosa, Laguna.
Santa Rosa, Laguna.
I was invited by my neighbor.
By your who? Your neighbor. What's your neighbor's name?
Ruby.
Ruby.
Yes.
Where's Ruby? Ruby, are you in the dark?
Hello.
All right. Ruby, I see you by faith. Okay. Where? Oh, all the way back there. Ruby, God bless your life. My dear sister, thank you very much for coming.
Okay.
And may God bless you and all members of your family. Say amen. Amen. All right. Somebody else, you're not a Seventh-day Adventist. You are here for the first time. Where? Just raise a hand. Raise a hand. Don't be shy. We won't hurt you. Is someone pointing to someone over here? No? No? No one else? No other visitors? Is that it? Pastor, can you use your prophetic eyes and see if you find anybody else who may be shy and hiding?
Yeah.
If you know someone's hiding, just do that and we will greet that person. Anybody else? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. You're with us for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh. Here's a young brother. Have him stand up. Hello, how are you?
Fine.
What's your name?
Christian.
No, I'm over here. What's your name?
Christian.
Christian. That's a good name. How old are you?
13.
You're what?
13.
Jesus was 13. He was a good boy. Are you a good boy? You're not sure. All right, that's okay. Christian, who invited you? Who brought you?
My tita.
Your teacher? Who's your teacher? Who?
Tita.
Oh, your auntie.
Yeah.
Sister Auntie, where are you? Oh, you're there. Okay, God bless you. Christian, I'm happy to see you. Thanks for coming. Say amen for Christian.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
All right, anybody else? Okay. That's it? That's it. All right. Our subject for this evening, the main ingredient. What did I say? What was the subject last night? Come on. And what's the subject before that? The night before that? Yeah, I won't push you any further. All right. Tonight, our subject, the main ingredient. Before I go any further, as always, if you're using a phone, please make sure it does not ring. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That request is based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And those are the words I earnestly desire to speak. And favor number three, something you do very well. So many of you are in school. I want you to think. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us do what? Reason together, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, we come tonight as we have come on previous nights. This is a holy work, dear God. And we need the guidance, direction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. I am the one speaking, Father. My burden is heavy. I ask you, first of all, to cleanse me from any sin you may see in my life. Make the cleansing a deep one, dear Father, that I may be a vessel fit to be used by you. I humble myself before you, dear God. My desire is your glory and to be a blessing to your people. Bless everyone in this building and outside. A double blessing on all our guests. If we're online, Father, bless the online audience, dear God, please. I always ask you to bless this country and the leaders and of all other countries represented by this congregation. Father, let the words of truth glorify your name and strengthen your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. What's our subject? 2 Peter chapter 3. It's 6 after 7. I'll let you go by 7:45. Unless I'm pushed by the Spirit to go a little further. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? 10. 2 Peter 3:10. When you found it, say amen. But the day of the Lord, come on, read with me, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That verse tells us there is a day when Christ is coming back. Do not be so occupied in your work, your earthly life, that you live without keeping in mind Jesus Christ is coming back. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Now, carefully, read verse 13. Nevertheless, we, come on, read 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, and God does not lie, look for new heavens and new earth, finish the verse, wherein dwelleth righteousness. If a new world is coming that will be distinguished by righteousness, what does that tell you about this world? Let me ask the question differently. If the world to come, if God has found it necessary to bring in a new world that is all righteousness, what does that tell you about this present world? I didn't hear you. It's unrighteous. Give me another word for that. Sinful, another word. What's that? Evil, yes, another word. Wicked, another word. Demonic, yes, demonic indeed. This is Satan's world. Another world, another word. Condemned, yes. This world is everything except righteous. Let's go to Revelation 12. Take a look at this world. The main ingredient is our subject. Revelation 12, we'll read verse 9. A very familiar verse to set on the Adventists. Do you have that? Last book of the Bible, chapter 12, reading from verse 9. When you found that, say amen. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Stop. If he deceives the whole world, tell me something about the whole world. It's in sin. What else is it? Blind. Willfully. Willfully. The world is blind. Let us go to 1 John chapter 5. Our subject, the main ingredient. 1 John chapter 5. The person who wrote Revelation is also the same person who wrote 1 John. Chapter 5, we read verse 19. And may God put His Spirit, His Word in my mouth and His Spirit in my mind. Do you have 1 John 5:19? Read with me. Now we know that we are of God, come on, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, in Revelation 12:9, the Bible says, the devil deceives the whole world. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, look at 1 John 5:19 carefully. What does the whole world, what two groups are in that verse? You're taking too long. There are two groups in that verse. What are they? Okay, this side, first group. What did you say? I'll come back to you. This side, first group. We. You see, we are we. What's the second group? The whole world. Now, if he says we and we are in the world, we are not part of the whole world that's in wickedness. Are you with me? No, you're not. Let me try again. It's my fault. Listen to the Bible microscopically. And we know that we, come on, are of God. That's one group. And the whole world lies in wickedness. What does that tell you numerically about we? Come on, give me some correct responses on the Sabbath. Listen again, listen. I insist on thinking. Listen to the words. And we know. Who is we? The disciples Paul, John is writing about. We are of God. We are of God. That's the group. And the whole world. Now let me ask you this very simple question. Which group is larger? The world. Now, since it's the whole world, how large do you think this group is? Small. Now, go back to Revelation 12, verse 9. Don't let anyone interrupt your thinking. Revelation 12, verse 9. Do you have that? Just a few books to the right of 1 John. All right, we read together. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. What do you understand by the whole world in that verse? Come on, the whole world except a few. Listen to me carefully. There are very few people on earth whose eyes are enlightened by truth. He deceiveth the whole world. Go to Genesis 6. This is nothing new. Go to Genesis 6. Genesis 6. This is the chapter in which God tells Noah he'll send a flood. We read from verse 1. Do you have Genesis 6? Verse 1. I'll pray, Father in heaven, please control me in my speaking and my thinking. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Read verse 5 with me. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look at the verse again. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great where? In the earth. Look at verse 11. Read with me. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. This is no different from John saying the whole world. Are you with me? Go to verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. all flesh, the same as the whole world in Revelation 12:9, the same as the whole world in 1 John 5:19. But except in the days of Noah, 8. Go to verse 13. Read with me. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, except the end of 8. What am I trying to say? From the days of Noah until now, most people have not followed God. But most people go to church. It's heartbreaking. Because the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. A God who would prefer to save everyone will have to watch as most are lost, because most are not interested in truth. They may be interested in church, not in truth. Because truth changes your life. Truth is often inconvenient. It must be when it comes up against sin. All right. Now let's go back to our key verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Having read that Christ will come back and the earth will be burned, verse 13 of 2 Peter 3, the Bible says, when you found it, say amen, so we can read together. It is 20 after 7. We are in good time. 2 Peter 3, 13. Do you have that? Read with me. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, the world that is coming is a righteous world. This world is not. By the way, listen to what the verse says. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth. Let me ask you a question. Do not answer me. Are you looking for it? Don't answer me. Are you looking for it? The world that's coming is righteous. Let's look at something else. Let's go to Acts 17. Acts 17. We read verse 31. Our subject, the main ingredient. Acts 17, verse 31. God bless the little children up front who have their Bibles. I'm so delighted. And wherever little children have Bibles, God bless you. God bless you. Happy to see that. What book did I say? Acts. What chapter? 17. What verse? 31. Now, in order to get to that new world, you have to pass a test. There's something called the judgment. Are you with me? All right. Read verse 31, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world, how? In righteousness. Stop, that's enough. The judgment that determines who will be in that world and who will be excluded is based on righteousness. If that's clear, say amen. It makes enormous sense, because if I am taking an exam to be fitted for a righteous world, the exam must be based on righteousness. If I do not study geography in preparation for a physics exam, if I hope to pass. Are you with me? All right. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. The standard that God will use to determine who is part of that new world will be a righteous standard. Let's go to James chapter 2. Discover something about that standard. James 2. Remember, James is a half-brother of Jesus Christ. Do you have James? Chapter 2. Not chapter 2, sorry. Yes, chapter 2. Chapter 2. We read from 8. James 2, reading from verse 8. When you found it, say amen. James, people, read with me. What does it say? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, keep reading, ye commit sin, yes, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, come on, read with me, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art what? A transgressor of the law. Now, verse 12, carefully, what does that say? Before you tell me what it says, remember, James is talking about what law? How do you know that? Because he gives two examples of that law. Don't commit adultery, don't kill. He gives two examples. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Read verse 12 now. So speak ye, come on, and so do, as they that shall be judged how? By the law of? Yes. What do you understand by so speak and so do? Live your life, says the Bible, as though you understand one day you'll be judged by the law of God. So speak ye, so do. Let your speaking, your behaving, also your thinking, be guided by that standard. Now, Paul said in Acts, he shall judge the world in righteousness. James says, the law is that standard. What does that make the law? Listen again. You must get this. Acts 17:31 says, don't look for it, just listen. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world, how? In righteousness. All right. James says, live as though you understand you'll be judged by the law. What does that tell you about the law? It is righteousness. Because God does not have two standards. The law is righteousness. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is righteousness. I should say that again. Anytime you obey the commandments, you are practicing righteousness. What's the judgment for entrance into the new world? Righteousness. What's our subject? The main ingredient. All right. The world that's coming is? The judgment is? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy was a young man when he worked with Paul. He was a teenager, actually, which means that young people don't have to spend all their days being frivolous and playing video games. They can be serious for God. Only one person said amen. All right, Father, I'm tired begging for amens. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read 7 and 8. Do you have that? 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Are we all together? Just before I read, let me review. The world is coming, righteousness. The standard, righteousness. Our subject, the main ingredient. Now, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me, come on, a crown of righteousness. Stop. Look at me. What's the crown? Righteousness. Go with me to James 1, the half-brother of Jesus. James 1. James 1. We'll read verse 12. Our subject, the main ingredient, is 27 after 7. You have James 1, verse 12. Read with me. What does that say? Blessed is the man that endureth. Temptation also means trial, tribulation, hardships in life. For when he tried, come on, he shall receive the crown of life, come on, which the Lord hath promised to them that. Now, what crown did we read about in 2 Timothy 4:8? A crown of righteousness. But how many crowns do you receive? One. Follow me closely. One. How many standards does God have? One. That's why the law is righteousness. So a crown of righteousness and a crown of life are the same thing. Because righteousness is a way of life. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Let's read verse 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Do you have that? Read with me. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive what? A crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, glory is character. So when Moses says, show me thy glory, he wanted to see God's brightness. God showed him his character. Glory is character. God's amazing grace. Page 322, paragraph 2, Ellen White writes, the glory of God is his character. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Glory, image, character. Now, the crown of glory is a crown that reflects the very character of God, which is righteousness. Let's review. The new world that's coming, it's a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. The standard for admission is righteousness. The crown you receive is a righteous crown. Let's read verse 8 again of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Our subject, the main ingredient. 2 Timothy chapter 4, are you there? Verse 8, read with me. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. Stop. Tell me about the world that's coming. Tell me about the judgment. Tell me about the crown. Tell me about the judge. Then what kind of people should be fitted for that new world? Righteous people. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We read verse 172. Psalm 119, verse 172. Do you have that? Not yet. All right. I'll give you 5 more seconds to find Psalm 119, verse 172. Do you have that now? Read with me. What does that say? My tongue shall speak of thy, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Thou shalt not kill. What's that? Righteousness. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What's that? Righteousness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Righteousness. All thy commandments are righteousness. You are engaging in righteousness now by observing the seventh-day Sabbath. Righteousness. Stay in Psalm 119. Let's go to verse 144. Read that for me. What does that say? No, read 142. 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Come on. And thy law is the truth. So we're combining two things in that verse. What are they? Righteousness and truth. Listen carefully. When you observe the seventh-day Sabbath, you are engaging in what? Truth. I have to say this. Don't be angry with me. When you regard Sunday as a Sabbath, which the Bible does not say, you are engaging in a lie. I have to say it. Don't be angry. I have to say it. And there is no lie in God. Thy law is the truth. God's law is righteousness. A righteous life is a truthful life. Go to verse 151 of Psalm 119. Read with me. Thou art near, O Lord, and are their truth. Verse 172 says their righteousness. 151 says their truth, because truth and righteousness are virtually the same. Go to verse 144 now. Read it for me. The righteousness of thy is... Stop. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Question for you. What is meant by testimonies? Let the Bible tell you so you don't go wrong. Go to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. What is meant by testimonies? The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Exodus 31, we'll read verse 18. Ah, God bless you. All right, it's the second book of the Bible. Do you have it now? No, you don't. Exodus 31, verse 18. It's 28 to 8. We have to move. Do you have it now? Let me pray, Father in heaven, as I continue this critical message. Tell me exactly what to say, God. Please. Even though some people are hurt, let them concentrate more on the truth than on the discomfort. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Read with me. And he gave unto Moses. Come on. When he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony. Come on, read on. Tables of stone. Come on. Written with the finger of God. What are the tables of testimony? The law. The law are called the testimonies. Go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. This is where God introduces to Moses the information for building the tabernacle and everything associated with it. And the first thing to be built was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, as it is called. Do you have verse 16 of Exodus 25? No, you don't have it yet? You have it? Read nice and loud for me. What does that say? And thou shalt put into the ark, come on, the testimony. Yes. Read verse 21. And thou shalt. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony, come on, that I shall give thee. Where did God tell Moses to put the Ten Commandments? In the ark. The testimonies are the commandments. Now we go back to Psalm 119. Read verse 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is what? Everlasting. How long has the commandment, has the law been there? Always. How long has it been righteous? Always. Because God's standard does not change. What's our subject? What's the main ingredient? Righteousness. Go to Romans 8. One of the most important chapters in the entire Bible, Romans 8. We read from verse 1 of Romans 8. I hope someone has already prayed for me and said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Who has said that prayer for me? Anyone? Anyone? No one? No one has prayed for me? Oh, God bless you, my good brother. God bless you. Nobody else? One saint. No one, I'm having a hard time. One saint prayed for me. Perhaps by the time I finish this message, some of you who have repented will pray for me. All right. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 1. Are you there? Let me pray. Father, one person has prayed for me. I still love all those before me. Move upon the hearts of others to pray, because I need the support of the saints. Now continue to speak to me, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Read with me nice and loud now. What does it say? There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Keep reading. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Carefully now, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Finish the verse. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? In us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus Christ came to demonstrate that the same way the righteousness of the law was expressed in His life, that righteousness can be expressed in our lives. That's why He condemns sin in the flesh. What He's saying is, look, I took your condition, I took your fallen nature, and I lived an obedient life. You can do the same. I did it by depending on my Father. You can do it by depending on me. Jesus, by His life, has told us this life you can live. A righteous life. In other words, the life of Christ is the law expressed. Is anyone an architect? No? All right. What does an architect work from? What does he work from? If he's building a building, or she, what does the person have to have? A blueprint. Or a plan. The architect looks at the blueprint. He knows where every electrical outlet goes, where the sink goes, the bathroom tub, the lights for the bedroom. He knows where everything goes. He sees the house by looking at the blueprint. Now, when the house is built, that's the blueprint in action. Are you following me? But the house is everything the blueprint says. The law of God is God's blueprint. God is the architect. What is He building? Perfect lives. This is the blueprint. When you give your life to God, through the power of the Spirit enables us to live out that blueprint in a practical way. Let me say differently. A woman or a man takes flour, water, milk, eggs, salt, sugar, cinnamon, some whatever else, baking powder, whatever, a little whatever, and makes a cake. Are you following me? All the ingredients on the table are the same in the cake. Are you with me? When you eat that cake, you are eating all the ingredients mixed together that produce a cake. The law of God, the commandments are the ingredients. The cake is your life. And part of that cake is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or something will be missing. Have you ever seen someone taste and say, it needs salt? Or it needs cayenne pepper? Or it needs sawdust? It needs something. It needs something. When we produce a cake of a life minus the Sabbath, God said, it's missing something. It's missing something. And what is it missing? The main ingredient. Huh? Righteousness, because the Sabbath commandment is righteousness. Now, someone will be saying, well, he hit the Sabbath yesterday, he's hitting it today. Why? I don't need to hit the other nine. No one fusses when you say, thou shalt not kill. They are happy. Aren't you glad your neighbor doesn't kill? Aren't you glad your neighbor doesn't chase your wife? Does not commit adultery? Aren't you glad your neighbor doesn't steal? Yes. Don't get rid of those laws. Keep them. Aren't you glad your neighbor does not covet what you have? We have no problem with nine. We have a problem with one. That's why I have to hit it. God gave us 10 commandments, not 9. How many of you have ever studied statistics? No one, nobody. Oh, yeah, okay, hands all over. Now, in statistics, 9.7 is what? All right, let me put it easier. In statistics, 8.9 is what? 9. You round off. Are you with me? Ah, come on, I'm talking to myself. You round off in statistics. You don't round off in math. 2 and 2 make? What do 2 and 2 make in the Philippines? What's 2 and 2? 4. Not 4.5. 2 and 2, 4. 4 and 4, 8. 8 and 8, 16. In statistics, 8.7, 9. 8.4, 8. So you run a survey, plus or minus 5. Not with God. When you take your exams, if you score 90%, you pass. You're on the honor roll. Not with God. God gave 10 commandments. What's the pass mark? 10. Or 100%. 10%, 100% is God's pass mark. That's why we need Jesus. Are you with me? He came and passed 100%. And so he could say, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in him. I did it. Now do it through my power. The main ingredient is righteousness. Some of us are lacking that ingredient. And God sent this series of meetings to tell someone there's an ingredient lacking in the cake of your life. No matter how much icing you put on it, it lacks an ingredient. Go to Mark chapter 7. And I'm coming to the close. It's already 7:45. I have to go to 8. Please don't be angry. I'll go to 8, not beyond. Mark 7, we read from verse 6. Brother Mark was not one of the 12 disciples, nor was Luke. Do you have Mark chapter 7? Reading from verse 6. Read with me, what does that say? He answered and said unto them, what? Well hath Esaias prophesied of ye hypocrites, saying what? Saying what? Saying what? This people, come on, honoreth me with their lips, come on, but their hearts are far from me. You come to church, praise the Lord, be blessed, stay blessed. Remain blessed. Hallelujah. Lips. Their hearts are far from me. Read the next verse. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, come on, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. This is very frightening and serious. You cannot base your relationship with God on a man-made commandment. What do you understand by in vain do they worship me? What do you understand by that? In vain. Meaningless. I know it's harsh, but it's true. Meaningless to God. In vain. Truth rescues people from meaningless worship. Let me tell you a secret. When people have major decisions to make, they always ask, they always consider what someone else may think. What will my father say? What will my mother say? What will my ex-wife say? Not what will God say. Not what will my friend say? What will my colleagues on the job say? What will my boyfriend say? Never. What will God say? And remember, God is the lawgiver who can save, come on, and destroy. We consider the views of everyone else except God. and there are a lot of people observing Sunday because of what other people think and say. And they will not change, even though they see the truth. Why? What will I tell my husband? Tell him the 7 days is the Sabbath. What will I tell my friends? My family has been in this church since 1652. How can I change? The world has been in sin for 6,000 years. God wants you to change. I want you to ask yourself, what will God say if I turn my back on the truth? Listen to me as your brother. God accepts ignorance. But here is the ignorance He accepts. I didn't know. I had no way of knowing. That's the ignorance God accepts. Not the one in 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. When you say, well, I heard that man last night, I'm not coming back because he made me feel badly. That's not ignorance in the eyes of God. Are you with me? That is not ignorance. That is arrogance. That's presumption. Running from truth. You know who's truth? Jesus. When you run from truth, to whom are you running? Don't tell me. You know the answer. What's our subject? Final verse. Let's nail down the identification of righteousness. Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. Then I'll pray. Deuteronomy 6, 25. It's 12 minutes to 8. Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. Father in heaven, as I end this message, give me the final words to speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:25. I want you to read that carefully. We're putting the final touch on the law as righteousness. Are you there? Read carefully with me now. What does it say? And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do, come on, all these commandments before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. Now, think with me. If we observe to do, give me one word for that. Obedience. Then give me another word for righteousness. Obedience. Let's finish the verse. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us, not Constantine or the Pope. As He. Not Mother Teresa. Not Donald Trump. Not Rodrigo Duterte. God bless him. Hope he's not listening. As He. My brothers and sisters, as He has commanded us, and He never commanded you to observe Sunday as a Sabbath. Never. Change. Change. There's a trick the devil pulls on people. Don't accept Christ until you know everything. When will that day come? It'll never come. You know the 7 days of Sabbath. Keep it. What's our subject? Describe the world that's coming. Describe the standard of judgment. Describe the judge. Describe the crown. Describe the law. How many of you will say with me? Listen to this quotation first before I make this call. Listen carefully. The man who attempts to keep the commandments of God from a sense of obligation merely because he's required to do so will never enter into the joy of obedience. He does not obey. When the requirements of God or the law are accounted a burden because they cut across human inclination, we may know that the life is not a Christian life. True obedience is the outworking of a principle within. It springs from the love of righteousness, the love of the law of God. The essence of all loyalty, the essence of all righteousness, is loyalty to our Redeemer. Now catch this. This will lead us to do right because it is right. Because right doing is pleasing to God. Is it right not to kill? Yes or no? Yes, it's pleasing to God. Is it right not to commit adultery? Yes, it's pleasing to God. Is it right to keep the Sabbath? Yes. Is it pleasing to God? Yes. In Matthew, don't go there, but in John 8, Jesus was frustrated. The Pharisees just wouldn't understand what he was saying. He said, why do ye not understand my speech? Why? If Jesus can't make it clear, how can I? But I hope I made it sufficiently clear. We are preparing for a world that is righteousness. The standard is the law of God, which is righteousness, which was expressed in the life of Christ and required in our lives. The judge is a righteous judge. The crown, a righteous crown. How many of you will say, Father, give me a love for righteousness? Can I see your right hand? A love for righteousness. Stand up with me. 7 minutes to 8. A love. Just love to do what's right. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, I ask you in the name of Jesus, dear God, touch that person who is right now in crisis. The person has heard the truth and is comparing the truth with his or her life as it has been lived. And there's a crisis because a choice has to be made. Dear God, I ask you to help that person to understand that anything you require of us is for our good and for your glory. Help that person to understand, dear God, that truth is often inconvenient, but it leads to life. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Father, I'll make this appeal. Let your Spirit do His work, dear God, as I make my human effort. Last night, I made a call for those who will make a decision and say, God, help me to observe your seventh-day Sabbath. Help me to do that. Many of you came. I've been praying for you today. I have your names on the list. Is there anyone else tonight who will say, Father, help me to keep your seventh-day Sabbath? You've not yet made that decision. You will say, Father, help me. I want to take some baby steps to obey you. Can I see your hand? You're not a Sabbath keeper. You want, because you've been convicted by what you've heard, you want to make some steps to obey God. Can I see your hand? And by obey, I mean the seventh-day Sabbath. We have a man right over here. I need names taken. Someone move fast. I want his name. Someone else, Lord, help me to keep your seventh-day Sabbath in obedience to you. Raise your hand. Do not be afraid. We've got your hand. There's a hand right there. We got that. Okay. Someone else. Someone else. Lord, I have learned. My eyes have been opened. Say that again. Anyone else? Anyone else? I know you're struggling. I don't know who you are, but I know you're struggling. Bring the struggle to Jesus. You don't come to Christ when things are right. You come to Him because things are not right. You know what Jesus said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're now laboring with what you've heard and learned. I ask you again, who will say, Lord, help me. I want to do what's right. Help me, Father, to keep your seventh-day Sabbath as you require. Raise your hand. Raise that hand. I give you 60 seconds and I pray. It's 2 minutes to 8. Ah, we have a hand right back there. Where's Pastor McArake? We have a hand back there. God bless that person. Get that person's name, please. Get that person's name. Get that person's name. I want to offer special prayer. Get that person's name, please. That person is precious in the sight of God. Anybody else? Ah, Where? Ah, here's a son of God. Tallest man in the room. Yes, come. Get his name. Where's the good pastor? Right over here to the left. Help me. The call is, help me. Not make me that Sabbath keeper today. Help me to move towards that. Where's your hand? God bless that young man. Get his name. The pastor's coming to you to get your name. He's coming. God bless you. Do you not understand when you raise your hand, you may inspire someone else to raise his or hers. Your example may move someone. 15 seconds. Lord, help me to obey you and to become a Sabbath keeper. Help me to follow the truth and live a truthful life. Somebody else. We've had 3 hands so far. Ah, my young brother, Christian, come get his name. Ah, my heart is happy. Christian raises his hand. Where's the pastor? All right. Christian, give your name to that brother, please. I'll let you go. Please don't worry. The rest of you should be praying. This is not a spectator sport. You should be praying. I'll let you go. I know your legs are tired, but you'll be all right. All right, the pastor's talking to somebody. While the pastor's doing that, I have another question to ask. Which of you is or are ready for baptism? Can I see your hand? You're ready for baptism. Can I see your hand? God bless you. Anybody else? You're ready for baptism. Can I see your hand? Ah, God bless you. 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 Ready for baptism. God bless these 2 sons of his. All right. I'm going to pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Father, in John 6, when Christ was preaching, many disciples left him because they did not like what he said. And only the 12 remained. All the others left. This is always a risk, take God, when a preacher preaches Bible truth. It offends. But God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, wrap your arms around those who still need to make a decision. A choice to say, Father, help me to obey where I have been deficient. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, in mercy and love, let your spirit wrestle with those who are in the valley of decision. And Father, I'm asking again, is this someone who will say, Father, help me to obey you and to come to the place where I observe your 7-day Sabbath? Is this someone else who will make that commitment? Raise your hand. And you have not yet made it. Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Anyone else? Father, I have tried. You go, Father, through your Spirit. Continue to work on them because you love them, God. Help them to understand truth will make them free. Now, bless everyone who heard the message. As we leave, God, go with us in the person of your angels, your Spirit. Bring us back tomorrow at the appointed place to hear your word again. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for truth. In Jesus' name we pray, let God's people say, amen and amen.